How to preserve the Catholic family. When we hear, either stop contraception or destroy the family. Paganism is Christianity without the cross. If we believe Father Hardin's ominous statements, have we not a grave responsibility to convince others? But first, let's hear for ourselves. Then go out and tell the world using these graduate-level jewels of truth. Father Hardin.
Suppose we begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Mary, seed of wisdom,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As you know, this is our closing conference on the subject of the sacraments in the Catholic Church. And our subject is how to preserve the Catholic family. Needless to say, this deserves not only an hour's reflection, but a lifetime of prayerful meditation. Nothing less than the survival of the Catholic Church in one country after another is at stake. Anyone who has any knowledge of the modern world realizes that the family, I repeat, in one nation or another, is in deep trouble. Nothing less than the survival of whole nations is at stake as we see family life disintegrating, and I include the survival of the United States. There are tens of millions of abortions, and by now, scores of millions of people are living in what we call broken marriages, which means broken families. There must be some deep, very deep reason for this catastrophe. And there is. The disintegration of the family in one Western nation after another is a result of disintegration of Christianity in these societies. As a once Christian nation becomes de-Christianized, the family in these countries begins to break down. The breakdown of the family in once flourishing Christian countries is, and I say this with absolute certitude, is a result of a de-Christianized civilization. What then is the solution? It is obvious. Restore authentic Christianity and you will restore family life. Preserve authentic Christianity and you preserve the family. At this point, I will do something very unusual. I would like to restate our title, How to Preserve the Catholic Family. The restatement says, either stop contraception or destroy the family. Why this restatement? Because contraception is the single most devastating cause for the breakdown of the family in the modern world. We believe that God in His mercy allows evil, allows it so that greater good may somehow come as a result of the evil which has been perpetrated. Consequently, God has allowed contraception to plague the modern world so that we may repent and return to our Father's house. And as the Holy Father sincerely hopes that the 21st century will be the most glorious century in Christianity and the most powerful, faithful, and stable family century in human history. I have deliberately restated the title of our conference in uncompromising language. This should be a warning to all of us, married and single, the laity and the clergy, bishops, priests, deacons, and religious, parents and children. Why do I say this? Because in greater or less measure, it has been, what a statement, it has been the infidelity of so many professed Catholics in every state of life which has contributed to the disappearance of the family in once Christian cultures throughout the world. Not long ago, in a diocesan paper and in the state of Michigan, on the front page, a clear formal statement from the bishop of the diocese openly defending and encouraging contraception. My plan is to cover several aspects of this historic subject. Over the years, I have taught a graduate course, whole semester, on the history of contraception. Contraception goes back to the earliest days of recorded history. It was Christianity that changed the thinking of then professed believing Christians. What I'll do is first give a series of statements, followed by explanations that I hope will be an uncompromising conclusion. I thought and prayed, Lord, how shall I address myself to the subject of preserving the Catholic family? I could have taken a dozen, in fact, five dozen different approaches. You see what I've done. First, the statements. Since the Incarnation, Christianity is the foundation of the family. There were no families until the dawn of Christianity. Second statement. Contraception undermines the foundation of the family. And the key word is the foundation of the family. Third statement. To preserve the family, Christianity must be restored in the modern world. And the family will be retained and preserved only, that adverb is our faith, only where Christianity is still vibrant and believing. Now we go over the statements we've made and develop the concepts involved. First major subtitle. Since the Incarnation, Christianity is the foundation of the family. It must seem strange to make a statement like the one I have just made. What makes it sound strange is that the coming of Christ is so widely, dear Lord, so very widely underestimated. The Incarnation divided the history of the human race. That is why, thank God, through all the world, if those who are not Christian have a calendar before Christ and Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord, where the Lord is Jesus Christ. And God became man, he did more than just die on the cross to redeem a sinful world. That is why, to my 5-year tenure at a state university in Michigan, 7 full-time professors in the Department of Philosophy and Religion. By the 3rd semester, I had most of the students. And with rare exception, they were not Catholic and many not even Christian. The world is starving. I use that word deliberately, is starving for Christianity. Maya's incarnation, the God-man, revealed to the whole human race such truths of faith and morality as had never been known before since the beginning of the human race. We teach in theology that until Christ's coming, there were no what we call strict mysteries, even in the almost 2,000 years of Judaism. The way strict mystery is something which is rationally inconceivable before being revealed and rationally incomprehensible after being revealed. Among these mysteries, these truths which the Son of God revealed as a central truth was the truth of love. The truth of love. Oh, but dear Lord, how many crimes are committed in the name of love? That's why God became man, to teach us the meaning of love, especially 4 mysteries. First, that God is love, the eternal love of the Holy Trinity. God is not only loving, God is love. A God would be only a single person is a contradiction in terms. There cannot be a God who is not a community of 3 loving persons. Secondly, the Son of God revealed that out of love, God created man out of nothing. God did not have to. All this needs to be underlined in today's godless society. God did not have to, in any sense of the world, have to create. He created only because He loved a world that did not exist and would not have existed except that He loved and used His almighty power to create out of nothing. Began with nothing, gains nothing, and profits nothing. Thirdly, Christ revealed that out of love, God put other people into our lives. Why? So that by loving them, we might prove our love for Him. That's why there is a plurality of persons in the human race, because there is a plurality of persons in God. Am I clear? There must be an other, otherwise love is meaningless. Finally, Christ revealed that out of love, God became man to die for us, and now gives us the privilege of dying to ourselves. Dying to ourselves out of love for those who He places into our lives for that purpose. Oh, how Christianity can be cheapened, weakened. And the heart of Christianity is that God became man so He might be able to die on the cross out of love for us, and taught us to become like Him, to die to ourselves out of love for those whom He puts into our lives for that purpose, to die to ourselves out of love for them, because we love the God who made us and them. It was not coincidental, but divinely ordained, that when God became man, He became a member of a family. It was divinely ordained that the incarnate God made monogamy binding on not just on all His married followers. One man and one woman, faithful to each other in marital chastity until death. Oh no! Monogamy is binding on the whole human race, including the 900 million Muslims who believe in polygamy, including the Muslims. Monogamy is now binding on the whole human race. And why? Because the God who became man provides the grace for the whole human race to live in monogamous family life. It was divinely ordained that Christ should have instituted the vocation of celibacy and consecrated chastity. Why? To show His married followers the power of divine grace in controlling the desires of the flesh. I have said this more than once to I don't know how many audiences. After my first year of teaching at the State University, one of the professors came into my office and said, "John, we did not believe that Catholic priests are faithful to their celibacy." closely watched you. Then I'm sure I told some of you this. Then we hired a woman to seduce you. They paid her good money, but she failed. My favorite definition of grace is the power we receive to do the impossible. Do you hear me? It was not coincidental, but divinely ordained that Christ's followers would master even their disorderly thoughts and sexually perverse desires. You're not only to be chaste in body, you are to be chaste in mind, in imagination, in our desires. So far from taking back the Old Testament precept to increase and multiply, the Savior told his followers to let the children come unto me, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Indeed, we adults, we need children to become as little ones in humility, and thus, and only thus, enter the kingdom of heaven. Without humility, there is no salvation. How then, we ask, is Christianity the foundation of the family? It is the foundation of the family in teaching and providing grace for the practice of selfless love. Without this selfless love, the family either does not exist, or if it exists, will be destroyed. Another subtitle, Contraception Undermines the Foundation of the Family. Those who practice contraception can be militant in their claims that contraception does not undermine the foundation of the family. It will give you in all volumes every conceivable and inconceivable reason for practicing ABC, artificial birth control. They'll tell you the pressure of conformity to the practice of married people in today's society. Again, the economic pressure of keeping up one's standard of living with each additional child. You don't spend, as we in America spend, $170 billion in advertising every year without seducing millions. My favorite definition of advertising, getting people to buy what they don't need with money they don't have. Peer pressure is, shall I say it, virulent. How we want to be accepted by others, how we dread rejection by others, even in the minds of others. Then we are told the social pressure of being told by other married people, what, another child? As though the pregnancy of a wife was something out of order. Or motherhood, a liability on society. Again, the political system of a nation, which discourages, what a mild verb, which discourages larger families and penalizes those who have children. in Russia during the 70 years of communist domination, the average number of abortions each year was over 16 million. And that is how abortion penetrated the rest of the world, through Karl Marx and communism. As I told an audience in Chicago a few months ago, the most powerful Marxist nation in the world is the United States. Thoroughly Marxified. I've been in Russia, in Moscow, giving lectures. I'll never forget, is in Moscow, some 12 miles from the center of the city to where I was giving the lectures. Mile after mile of alleged apartment houses, all identical, all looked like square prisons. And by law, no one was allowed to have more than 2 children. And now in Red China, as we know, the law forbids a woman to have more than 1 child. I'm still going on to explain why contraception has become so widespread. The social structure of a nation which favors feminism discourages women from having children so they can be, quote, productive for the people, unquote, Karl Marx. Every single principle of feminism, without exception, is found in the writings of Karl Marx and Lenin, his disciple. Thus, in our country, the majority of employed personnel in every sector of business and industry are women. This works havoc with even wanting a family. It encourages late marriages with a high percentage of sterility. At the root of these factors, which undermine the family, I repeat, is the contraceptive mentality. In order to bring out in stark contrast the teaching of Christ on selfless charity and the selfish philosophy of the contraceptive mentality, it would be worth looking at each with absolute frankness and sincerity.